As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on The Athletic Podcast Network.
We have a problem.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show.
Anybody going to Vegas?
Ready, set, Vegas.
You're in or you're out.
You say anything about gambling?
11 days of basketball in the desert oasis.
That bastard cashed a bad check downstairs and gave you his reference.
What happened here?
Only happens here.
I remember seeing Jesus.
Who wants to be my father?
I'm Houston.
Take it away,
what
guys.
What a terrible thing to lay on somebody with a head full of...
A fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
And we are here in Las Vegas for the Summer League.
You kind of didn't know where we was for half a second.
I didn't.
He was about to say Phoenix.
I was about to say.
D.C.
I couldn't remember because I'm tired.
It's that hot out
it's
here.
So hot. So hot.
So hot.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here with my man Marcus Thompson and our man Fred Katz. We're here. We're live.
We are live.
Getting it done.
Chet, baby, one, two, three, four. Chet, baby, Chet, baby, one, two,
yep,
three.
Yep.
All right, Fred has no idea about Rum Shaker, right? Like. You don't get down to New Jack Swing.
I'm just here for Chet.
No, that's it. No Rex and effects. No. Come on, Fred. We got to get Fred with some Rex and effects. Get you one of them jean jackets.
You know what I mean?
Let's go, man. Hey, Chet, I just gave you a whole marketing plan right there. You get the whole hood.
When they were in Utah, I mean, Kenneth Lofton Jr. kind of got the better of him.
Right,
but
right,
that
right.
First
you
game.
You can't even really knock him for that, though. Like, Kenny will post up Jesus.
Right.
Like, that dude don't care. Like,
come here, bearded one. Like, come on down here and get some of this.
Like, Kenny is posting up any and everybody. I think that dude could go in the league right now and get a bucket.
He's so smooth. They love him in Memphis.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. It really
is. He is so smooth. But Chet is like, man, he's pulling up off the dribble and shooting long threes and, like, man, they love his passing ability, too. Like, Sam Presti talked about that, just his ability to move the ball, run an offense from the top of the key, from right. The high post. Like, they love him.
It's going to be fascinating to watch him because if it works, then he's the next evolutionary step in the chain, right? Like, he's the next
like
guy.
The one after Durant?
Yes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Durant
like,
Chet, yeah.
Because of his ability to do everything at that size. Like KD's handles are fine. I'm not killing his handles, but that's not playmaking's not his forte, right? So, if Chet is that guy and can do that, it's a whole new thing.
Like, he has issues, right? He'll have things he's got to grow. I don't think that's abnormal for any rookie, right?
Exactly.
His is just a little bit more pronounced,
right?
Kind of needs to get some weight on him, but
exactly
the amount of skill. I mean, if we know anything about today's NBA, skill is everything.
Right.
This dude, like. He's got a ton of skill, right?
Yeah.
He's full of skill. So if he gets some muscles on him and gets into a program.
Just a little. I don't even know if he can get to 230. I think 220 might.
Well,
he's 197.
I know.
Well, the other way to look at him, too, is like we're looking at the skill and we're saying, okay, well, he's the next evolution of like that wing that can score. The other side is kind of the next evolution of like a Rudy Gobert if he actually puts on weight.
Right.
Like if you watch that first summer league game, there were multiple times where he ended up get like a jump shooter, got him up in the air.
Oh,
he
yeah.
bit on a pump fake.
Yeah.
Then he bit on another pump fake. And then he still blocked the jump
right.
shot.
He got kicked like, in the corner. He
right.
blocked
yeah.
three. Yeah,
right.
I mean, like his ability to block shots is crazy. And if he can put on weight and not necessarily get muscled down low,
yeah.
like then he's
well,
the
he's
next level.
He's going
right.
to get muscled down.
But then he's
but
the
not
next
all,
level.
But not all the time.
Sure.
I don't think it'll be all the time, though.
Sure. And he could be like a just kind of a weak side help defender and
yeah.
just deterrent because you can't shoot a floater over him if he's really able to defend stuff well.
But one thing we've seen, like, the weight is a thing, but if your answer is to just post Chet up, that's not great offense.
No, exactly.
No, exactly.
So the thing that is a knock against him, like, it might hurt you on some possessions.
Right,
but
right.
If a team's going to say, yo, every time, mouse in the house with Chet, like, they're going to lose because right. You got to, like, at some point shoot threes.
Think about this. Think about this. How many truly skilled back-to-the-basket fours and fives are there in the NBA right now? Like, Cat. Really, like, you get them the ball in the block,
mean, how,
and it's a bucket.
Do we even know? Like, nobody does
Cat and
it.
Embiid.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how many are there? Like,
probably
six?
More than we know. We just don't, they don't do it. Yeah. Like, Embiid for sure, right?
Yeah, like, and Cat's
and
got that
Jokic.
Game.
Jokic.
And Jokic's got that game.
Yeah, right, right. But, like, somebody told me when I asked them about Holmgren, they said, okay, so if you're saying he's going to have problems guarding John Morant on a switch, everybody has problems guarding John Morant on a switch. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like there's a John Morant stopper out there.
Why do people say that all the time? Well, I mean, what's he going to do against LeBron? The same thing everybody does. Fail. Like,
right. Exactly.
Fail. Like,
that's a fair point. Saying. It's like, you know, he's not, yeah, exactly. So
he's going to lose. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Right? Like,
so there won't be a steady diet of posting Chet up. I agree with you.
The question to me is whether he.
Shout out to our Oklahoma City fans who are watching us right now, our two OKC fans who are watching us right now on the pod.
There's two of them. Oh, I see Oklahoma.
Both of them.
So
there they are.
This is a big week for the Thunder. Yeah. Like, this is their Super Bowl. This is their everything. Sam Presti is going to go into 2023 free agency.
Right.
He's going to take the summer league ring. He's going to put it on the table.
I want to
see. Say this is why you come here.
They're going to have the NBA entertainment. You know, 30 for 30 on the summer league, the OKC summer league. Narrated by Samuel L. Jackson.
He's gonna say, "I can take you. I can make you the next Josh Selby."
Exactly.
Yeah.
Next Nate Robinson.
If they don't clinch and then have a podium built live,
you know what I'm saying?
The set,
have Doris there giving out the trophy.
Nah, we ain't doing Doris like that. It's gonna have to be me or something. We're not doing
Doris. Doesn't do something.
We're not doing Doris like that. Nah.
All right, it's been a crazy week in the league so far. As we tape this, and the thing that we thought was interesting that we could talk about for a little while is the whole idea of these super max contracts and extensions now, and at what point do they become, like, unfathomable, right? Like, because I was at dinner last night with a couple friends of mine, and they wanted to know about the Beal contract, and I said, well, look, you know, I said he's the best player they have, and if they get rid of him, how long will it take them to get a player as good as him? 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? You know, like, I mean, you may get him, but you may not. And so they just couldn't get past $50 million a year for Bradley Beal. And I get that, but think about what you're going to say 3 years from now when it's $60 million for whoever, you know, garden variety good player in the NBA or really good player.
That's
in the NBA.
Not even really the proper, like, discussion. The question is the difference between what you think he should get and what he's getting.
Yeah.
Because if you think, man, I'd only give Bill 49. Like, what are you doing, really? Right? Like, you
exactly.
know what I'm saying? Like, and
yes.
That's what's going to look crazy in 3 years. You were tripping off $2 million, right?
Right, right.
If you think he should only get 30, now that's a huge difference. But you can't say we're going to max Bill, but 55. To me, it's like, if you get down to the difference between what you think it's worth and what the market says, if that's the manageable number, then
yeah.
you do it. Because where are you going to find something better for that extra $7 million
the whole
you
point.
Saved?
Well, we got to get used to this because there's going to be a big cap spike
exactly.
when the new TV deal comes in.
Right.
New TV deal comes in a couple
Just
years.
Just random dudes
so
are going to be making 60.
Hate, as yeah. much as they hate Joe Lacob right now for the checkbook wins, the Warriors keep raising the cap.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
By themselves.
Yeah, they keep raising the cap.
What's it, $5 million per game?
Dude, they gated like $800 million this year. They gated $800 million this year. Like, that's insane. Like, $400 is good.
Right, right,
like,
right. And they just double what everybody else does.
$800 million. Like, the cap is, you know, so I guess that's another reason to be upset, though, because now you gotta pay more, right? Like, the number's going to go
well,
crazy.
Well, at some you point, do? Like, the rational way to look at it is to say it's a percentage of the cap.
Yeah.
Beal's making 35% of the cap.
Right.
That's what it's always been. It's still 35% of the cap. But at the same time, like, the way that the owners often look at this is,
I don't give a crap about the percentage of the cap. Right. It's $57 million in a player option in year five out of my pocket.
Right.
I don't care what percentage of the cap it is. That's $57 million. And at some point, like, weird stuff is going to happen that we haven't seen happen. Like, I feel like there was so much talk, for example, of, like, Kyrie, for example, potentially taking the taxpayer mid-level exception.
Right, right.
At some point, some player, when the mid-level exception is like $17 million sure. a year, at some point, some max player is going to say, it's still $17 million a year and I can go wherever I want for a mid-level.
Yeah. I've already made $150 million right. playing basketball, and now I want to have fun. Yes, and I want to play where I want to play, and I want to play with who I want to play with. So, I just don't get, like, the impact for the Wizards is this guy's taking up 35% of your cap. You really don't have a lot of wiggle room to do other things. But if you look at the Wizards cap, they got Porzingis for two more years. It's a tradable contract if you want to trade it. If you need to trade it, it's doable. It's not prohibitive. So their flexibility is not as limited, I think, as people believe.
But if he was getting 25% of the cap,
right,
would they win a title?
Well, no.
Like, what are we talking?
Exactly. No, that's the thing. They're still short. They're short if, by two.
If he was getting 25% of the cap, he'd be playing somewhere else.
Right. Exactly. No, that's right.
The Wizards gave him... Right. Everything. They right. gave him his every cent that they could give him.
Right.
They gave him the player option. They gave him the no trade clause.
Yeah.
The irony of the no trade clause is I don't think there's a player in the NBA who needs a no trade clause less than Bradley Beal.
I don't even care about the no trade clause. I think it's the biggest non-story in the world. If Bradley Beal says, I want to get traded, guess what? They're going to trade him. It doesn't matter if he has a no trade clause.
Right. KD didn't even get a player option on his extension. He's there for 4 years, and we're still hearing, well, you know, they're going to work with Phoenix and try trading to Phoenix.
That's what
like
makes it funny, right? Like, no, KD, you can't have
you can't have it.
Yeah. They told Steph no to a no trade. What you going to do?
Right. Exactly. And the other one is Dame. Obviously, Dame got the 2-year extension. That was $60 million.
Hey, Dame is from East Oakland, man. If there's one different. Thing we know how to do, East Oakland friend, it is get money. That is what we do. When this is all over, Dame gonna have he will have made $450 million.
That's crazy.
Remember Kevin Garnett's nickname when he got the first big kind of big what, ticket?
Big ticket, yeah. Yeah.
KG didn't make $400 million. Think about that. Like
you mean yeah, collectively?
His whole career.
It was 300 something million.
That contract he signed with Minnesota when everyone lost their mind, it was like $126 million
for 6 years.
Yeah.
So and the league went nuts.
He's at 334
that's,
in his career.
That is significantly less annually than Jalen Brunson.
You know what I love? I remember this like it was yesterday. So after he signed a contract, we went up to Minnesota and I said, Who's the first guy you told I got the bag? And he said, my man, Bug. I was like, I love this guy. He told Bug
the
first.
The realest one. Like, hey, Bug.
Bug, we
hey,
did
Bug,
it.
We did it. We did it. That's crazy. So when this is, like, who do you think right now LeBron leads all players all time, 387? I mean, Jokic got his first deal, first big one. What does Jokic have left? 10 years,
right?
The
right,
way he
right.
plays, right? He's right. not like
Ja is going to break 400, I think, easy.
Everyone is just going to. It's going to be a perpetually broken record.
Right.
He's
right.
everyone. Huh?
Right. Yeah. It is the most breakable record in basketball. It's right. going to be perpetually broken all the time. So, max salary goes up every single year.
You think they do something in the CBA?
But see, so that's a good question, Marcus. So when the Durant news broke, I called an owner. And said, all right, you tell me, because you're an owner, you do this, you talk to the other owners, do you think there's going to be a reckoning that the owners are going to say, we're done with this player empowerment BS, and we're taking it back in the next CBA? And he said, no. And I said, really? And he said, no, because at the end of the day, we want to win so bad, we'll do whatever it takes to
and
win.
And that's how you keep your stars.
Yes.
And there's another part of it, too, because I asked that question to somebody, too. And they said, no. And I said, why? I said, making too much money right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
They're not giving that back.
Right.
Like yeah, you lose Kevin Durant potentially when he asks out with 4 years left, or
right.
or you lose Ben Simmons for a year when he sits, or you lose Kyrie for whatever portion of a season you're going to lose Kyrie for. But, right. like, everyone's making so much money. When everyone is making a ton of money, nobody wants to just stop making money.
Right. Everybody's good.
No one's going to voluntarily say, let's all stop making money for however long so Kevin Durant doesn't demand a trade.
I mean, what's the luxury tax check they're all getting?
Oh, it's
thanks to your Warriors.
Thanks to the Warriors.
I mean, the
everybody's fat.
Everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody eats.
That's a hell of a Christmas bonus.
Between the Warriors and the Lakers, everybody eats.
Yeah. Everybody eats. They make a good money.
It's all good. Speaking of the Lakers, what do we did? I don't know if you.
I was here last night.
You were here last night. Okay, I was not here. What was that like?
First off, I almost got ran over by LeBron security.
Did you really?
Like, you know, LeBron's a good dude, man. LeBron ain't trying to do anything. But this whole idea, we're in this VIP area downstairs. And it's like there are no fans down there.
Right.
Like, we all
credentialed.
And they're like, move out the way. And I'm like, man, hold on. you know what I'm saying?
I'm talking to Larry Riley. Hold on a second.
I'm having a conversation. I got to get, well, what's happening? Who's coming? Oh, LeBron's coming. Like, I mean, save that for the crowd. I'm not a fan. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, so I said all that after I got out the way.
Right. After they moved you.
After I got out the way. But, yeah, so they go and sit down and, I mean, it was obvious. Like, you know, we kind of cling to a little bit of drama anyway, Fred. But it was like, yo, they're far apart. Let's watch this, right?
Let's see what happens.
It was unique because, you know, you see guys sit together normally, right? Like teammates, they come sit together.
You would think a text would have been, where you at? I'll be there in 2 minutes.
But, you know, right? You know what I get, Russ? Russ smiled the whole time.
Right.
Smiling the whole time. Right. Now, I don't know the psychology of that, and that's why we have Fred.
Fred is he's the Russ Whisperer.
Fred is the Russ Whisperer.
Yeah, I'm the Russ Whisperer. You guys know me. Every Thursday night,
so after
I pick up my hamburger landline phone, I kick my feet up, I dial Russ.
So when he called you last night to talk about it, what did he tell you?
Right, exactly. Right. How'd that go?
He's just gossiping with me. Man. LeBron wouldn't sit with me.
Exactly. How should I play this, Fred?
Yeah, exactly. Asking. I'm his PR consultant now. Yeah, exactly. What do you guys think is going to happen with him? Like, what? Let's say, I mean, there's the talk of Russ for Kyrie as a possibility. But if he ends up there, like, they have to do something different. I remember I spoke to somebody who worked really, really close with Darvin Ham, another assistant who was on the same staff with Darvin Ham for a long time. Last year when he actually was a finalist for the Wizards job and I was covering them. And I spoke to somebody there, and I asked that person, like, what do you think Darvin Ham's offensive philosophy is going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me Darvin Ham all the time, all he's emphasizing is ball movement.
Yes.
He is emphasizing it all the time. And look, it's one thing when you have a guy like LeBron and you say, roll it out, LeBron, do your thing, because LeBron, having the freedom to do whatever he wants, is better than just ball movement for the sake of ball movement, because it's LeBron.
That's right.
But when you have Russ on your team, like, I forget where the Lakers were last year, but if you look through the second spectrum data, a Russell Westbrook team dating back to 2013 when it started being tracked has never finished above the bottom four in passes per game. I forget where the Lakers were last year. It might have ended that, but I don't think it ended it by much.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Like, those teams just run through Russ.
Yeah.
That's just how he plays, and he hasn't really shown that desire to necessarily change his style.
Right.
It didn't work last year. Like, what can they possibly do if Russ is coming back to just fix the offense? Because, like, even AD and LeBron and Russ on the floor together, they were, like, -3 per 100 possessions.
No, it was the idea that Russ was just going to camp out of the dunker spot was just... Are you actually considering, hey, that's going to happen?
The answer is actually probably not feasible, though. It's a motion offense. It's movement. It's,
but what's the realistic answer?
You can use all the nice code words.
Yeah. Ball movement, motion, and we want ball movement and player movement. You can say all the code words, but, like, what are they actually going to do?
LeBron. I just don't think there's a... Like, you know what it is? It's defense. It's getting out in transition. It's being great defensive.
Well, the answer would be bring Russ off the bench. But we all know that's not happening. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's impossible. So, it's not... I don't think it's not fixable in L.A. I just don't think it's fixable in
you
LA.
You could stagger Russ
and just
make him the first. Just pull him and just let him run with... You know, pull him with 7 minutes left in the first and let him run benching.
The problem ain't even the starting. The problem is the finishing.
Yes, like, that's right.
You could probably get him on board if you tell him, but no matter what happens, last 5 minutes you on the court. And then the problems you have will be the same thing.
That's what it really is.
In a close game.
Could he work with our man Thomas Bryant again? Yes, of course. Sure. They would, you know.
But that was the big thing in D.C. Right. Russ is there with a pick and pop center. He's going to be the best thing ever happened to Thomas Bryant.
Is there a part of Russ that could just be, like, you know how LeBron goes into the mode where he's like, man, I'm just passive. Can Russ just do that?
Yes.
He's but done I, it. He does it.
I know he can.
No,
right?
No. He has nights. Yeah, I mean, yeah. He always has big assist nights. Like, yeah. So that's the thing. Like, it's not that he's selfish. It's just that the ball's always in his hands all the time.
So I have covered the Thunder in my life, and I have covered the Wizards in my life. And something that
I feel
that
like
Russell,
we got to pour out some liquor.
You know what I'm saying? Something brown. Something brown in here for Fred.
Something that both Russell Westbrook and John Wall taught me unintentionally is that decision-making in basketball is not necessarily based on basketball IQ all the time.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Based on personality.
Yes.
Like John Wall, when John Wall takes a shot at the end of the game and it's some mid-range shot and he's guarded by two guys, John knows what he's doing. He is ridiculously smart. That dude knows the game so well. Mm-hmm. But he thinks, I'm John Wall. I can take this shot. You know?
Right.
And I think a lot of Russ is like personality-based as opposed to intelligence-based with his decision-making on the court.
Not meaning he doesn't have intelligence, but he has the personality kind of overriding it.
I'm Russell Westbrook. Well, I can do this. And so with Russ, like, Russ is the only player I've ever covered who will have just, like, spite nights. Where, like...
Oh, but and he's, like, baitable on Russ, right? Like,
yeah.
All you got to do on Russ is hit a jumper and be like, got him.
But what'll happen is like he'll have some game where he, you know, has like a bad shooting night and takes a ton of shots and he'll field a bunch of questions after the game and about his shot selection and all that, and the next game he'll come out and be like, I'm gonna take 8 shots and I'm gonna get 26 assists.
Right.
And you're like, man, this is ridiculous. And he does that for like 3 games. Oh, you had 11 turnovers? I'm gonna have no turnovers.
I feel like that's the answer right there.
What's that?
Like Russ, let Russ be just floor general, whipping the ball around, leading the league in assists.
I just don't know how he does that with LeBron on the floor.
I know. I mean, that's but right. if out of the two, who's
and I don't
play
know
off the
that.
Ball?
While I like from an age standpoint the moves that the Lakers have made. If you look at that second unit, I don't see a lot of shooting on that second unit. You know,
they lost Malik Monk.
That's what I'm saying. Like they don't have. You know, they got Troy Brown, who we know from D.C., not a shooter. You know what I mean? So, you know, Thomas Bryant's a good shooting big man, but that doesn't mean he's a great shooter. You know what I mean? So these are – I don't know. So my thing is who does Russ play with that you get the most out of him? You know what I mean? So what you're saying, just let him dime people up. But if there's no shooters on the floor, how does he do that? You know?
Yeah. I mean, so that's where I'm thinking, like, you got LeBron, you got AD. I mean, they don't have like this potent offensive system, right? But I'm just trying to figure like who's best off the ball. I mean, it's obviously LeBron.
Right.
It's obviously LeBron.
Yes.
So take him off the ball, put Russ on the ball. And the problem with Russ ain't that he can't do it. It's just like he'll take the shot or he'll see a guy and be like you said, this dude can't guard me. But if somehow. You know, and I believe it. I want to see Darvin Ham try it. Get Russ to change.
I would be fascinated to
lead
see.
Lead the league in assists, Russ. Because, that's what I want you to do. Like, break the assist record. Like, turn into Magic Johnson.
Well, the interesting thing with Darvin Ham specifically is, like, he has a presence.
Yes. Yes.
Darvin Ham, when he walks up to you and says, do this, you're like, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever you say. He has, like, an imposing presence.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a real one.
That
no
same
question.
Person that I was talking
he
to told me a story.
In the face.
Shot in the face.
When there were like guys drinking on the team plane one time, and Budenholzer was like, oh, I gotta take care of this. They were getting, I guess, a little rowdy. And Darvin was just like, nah, I got this. And he went back and just said, stop right now.
Right.
And everyone was like, fine.
Right.
No problem. And he just came back and it was done. It was like, that's the presence that he has. And that was when he was an assistant.
You know the thing about Darvin? Darvin is an incredibly nice guy.
Yes, he is. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever talked to.
Like, just warm and inviting, always smiling. You know, you don't cross a dude like that. You just don't. You don't cross a dude like that, man.
He's
you know what
got
I'm
a
saying?
Switch.
Like, yeah. If he was like hot and cold,
right, 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 right.
But, The dude who's always, every time you see him, he's warm. It's like, ooh, that boy, bad sign. Bro.
you don't want to get Darvin Ham, man. Everybody knows that.
That could be a Hulk situation. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want that monster. By the way, didn't they get Lonnie Walker? What you talking about? Yes. No shooters. I see Kendrick Nunn. Come on.
What's Lonnie Walker's career 3-point percentage?
Like 32.
Like 27%. What are they doing?
Who's going to start at the two for them? Like, is it going to be Nunn? It's going to be Austin Reeves, right?
It's got to be Austin Reeves, I would think.
They need someone.
Somebody that can shoot. I mean, somebody that's a threat.
I actually like the Thomas Brown signing for them.
I do, too, but, I mean, it just has limited function. That's all I'm saying. Like, you're not going to play Thomas Bryant 47 minutes, you know?
Sure.
On a team with AD on it.
He just works next to AD because you can just – he can pick and pop.
And
if he shoots better than he did last year when he was coming off the ACL, at least that's –
Yes, no, I like it.
You know who they're going to love on that team, right?
Who's that?
The dude from Oakland. Juan Toscano.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, man.
Right.
But that's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm not even here to shoot.
Right.
I'm a defend. I'm going to pass the rock. I'm going to feed people. I'm going to set you up. I feel like Russ can do that. I really do. I don't know if he want to do it with them.
If Malik Monk was still on the roster, I would feel a lot better about that.
Why didn't he get the shooting?
That's the part I don't understand. They got younger, but they didn't get any better shooting the basketball.
I just have heard for so many years, like, I feel like Russ can – if Russ just changes one
just
thing.
Just a little bit.
If he just a little bit. Just like it hasn't
– doesn't happen.
It hasn't happened. Right. Of course he's capable of doing that.
Right.
He's one of the most – he's a first ballot Hall of Famer and one of the most talented – people ever to pick up a basketball. He's capable of doing anything.
Right.
He could do whatever. But we haven't seen it happen.
I think sometimes you just wonder if he's endured enough like hoop trauma to like want to be different.
I mean, last year Carmelo, was, like, I don't know. Like, it seemed like it was really bad. I mean, I wasn't out there a bunch, but it seemed like it was really bad last year, you know, with the fans and everything. And so you wonder, like, does he want to be there? Does he want to?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if – even if he did have this awakening and it's like, you know what, I'm about to be 34 when the season starts. Like, there's another way to be. Like, I could extend this. I don't think he want to do it in L.A. Like,
If Russ had an awakening and he was like, you know what, I'm just going to be unbelievable Bruce Brown.
Yeah.
That – I would have to write that story. How did this – like, how did this evolution
you, as a matter of fact,
happen?
Yeah.
Do it for Fred, right?
Like, absolutely. You
know, I'm going to give Fred the story of his life.
Absolutely.
I'm give my guy the piece to dive into.
Meet me at the spot.
Trust me. He's not doing it for me.
He loves you. He's crazy about you. Fred. As he would say in the press conference, Fred.
You know, the best thing about Russ is that he only really says your name as a reporter. He only really says your name when he's insulting you.
But that's kind of just like a love language.
Right.
Low key, right?
Like, absolutely.
He just gotta say it. I mean, I know we're talking about Russ and all that, but isn't the Lakers key kind of Anthony Davis?
Well, sure, like, of course. I mean, they're key to having any chance to be good. Yes, of course.
I was watching the clip of KG. You see KG talking about Anthony Davis when he said, you know, I haven't picked up the ball for 2 months. Like, that really bothered KG. He's like, man, let me stop talking about this. I'm sweating. I'm getting hot. But that's the truth. Like, if Anthony Davis, he's like, go for MVP. If he's an MVP caliber player,
then they'll
that
be
might,
fine.
Yeah, that yeah. might be good enough to fix yeah. a lot of these
they'll
issues.
They'll be fine. And maybe they'll get, you know, maybe they add another piece or two before the season starts. But I don't dislike it because they were too old last year, but now they're younger. But again, for what Darvin wants to do, which is move the ball to the weak side and do mismatches and stuff. Well, okay, when the ball gets there, who's shooting it? That's all I'm asking. Like, somebody's got to shoot it that can make it. In Milwaukee, that's Chris Middleton. I want Chris Middleton shooting that shot. You know what I mean? Or Jrue Holiday. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm fine with it.
So you said the thing about Russ, like, you know, he's done it enough. You've seen enough of wishing.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Do you feel the same way about AD? I mean, he's 10 years in. He's not – he's like
– wow, it's 10 years. That's crazy.
Like, he's not 30 yet, but he's got that kind of longevity where he might be like, man, AD ain't going to be more aggressive.
Right.
Like, this is just who he is.
Right.
But AD is like – The difference is that Russ is not necessarily physically the same player that he was in 2016 when he was an MVP. Like, Russ is not physically there. He's an athleticism-based point guard who's now in his early 30s. Like, AD shot the ball. What was he, 17% from three last year or something?
He was not good.
He could not hit jumpers last year at all. But, like, he is still a great defender.
Yes.
He was unbelievable during their title run. Like, we have seen him be the best player on a championship team for an entire playoff run.
Right.
So, like, I don't have any doubts about AD as long as he's healthy. I mean, I don't really buy any of the AD doubts. I think if he's healthy, he's easily a top 10 player.
Can we switch in a minute? Because I want to talk about Philly. I actually really like what Philly's done this offseason.
Philadelphia Rockets?
Yeah, right? Right. Yeah. But
that's why I don't like it.
Well, but it makes sense for what they needed.
I don't care.
It's like, why don't you like it? I don't understand.
I just don't like the reunion. This ain't Saved by the Bell. Like, reunion show happening in Philly.
Wait. Who's Zach in this scenario? I like what Philly did. They added some vets, some wing defenders, you know. And Harden's putting video out of him, of Sam Cassell yelling at him. I like this, you know.
What do we make of this whole James Harden has recommitted himself to conditioning and winning a title?
Is that another situation?
It just feels very like Hoodie Mello to me.
Right.
I've heard this.
Right.
I've heard this for years.
We'll see. It's just like, shouldn't the concern be that he's recommitted himself to conditioning? Shouldn't the concern be like, all right, I guess he's just admitted that he was not committed himself to conditioning?
Right. I mean, admitted or not,
it's kind of obvious, right?
I do think it's different, though, because I don't think he needs to be the same James Harden.
Sure.
Like, I mean,
no.
He just got to be enough to, like, so Joel Embiid don't feel alone.
Right.
Man, I'm telling you, I think the sleeper move might be of the offseason was DeAnthony Melton.
Like, yeah.
I love that dude's game. Yes. He plays defense. He can run point. He hits open shots. I don't know what Memphis was doing.
Right.
This was, like, a terrible decision, but that's going to benefit them.
Yes, right? And
how many times
also?
Daniel House, how many times in a big game
PJ Tucker,
when you need a big shot, it was Georges Niang? Like,
right.
Like,
yes, or
you know,
or Thibault,
like,
you know,
yeah,
like,
or Matisse, yes.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
I mean, those are good players, but come
you
on,
just
you ain't
can't.
Win a title.
No, right.
Thibault just killed their spacing.
Yeah.
Oh, no question.
Yeah. They were so much easier to guard.
Yeah.
Whenever Thibault was on the floor.
Right. And just, you know, once again, the notion of, well, I rail against this because I love defense and I think defense should be rewarded, but you do have to score in this league. You do have to make shots in this league, especially now. Like, and especially in the playoffs, you have to be able to make shots.
Did we just watch that in the finals? Like, Draymond, you got to get a bucket.
Well, with Thibault, it's like, you got to be able to take shots.
Yeah.
Like, I think Thibault averaged fewer points per 36 minutes than any player in the NBA last year.
Wow.
Like, he just, you got to take those shots. That's really when it's easy to help off of guys. Like, at least Draymond, like, will try to attack, he'll put up a
but
three.
Draymond is always great at the 4-on-3.
Fred Dickey Slick. Yeah. Take those shots. That was a vaccine take right there. He think he's slick. I know what you're doing, Fred. You got to take those shots, Matisse. All right.
Wiggins, you got to take this.
It's just so easy to help off a guy when, like, you know, if he gets the ball, he's not putting up the shot anyway. So what's the rush to close back out?
Right. Well, the smart teams do that. The dumb teams don't.
The playoff teams do that.
The playoff teams do that.
Are in the playoffs.
Especially when it's, like, so matchup driven and you in game 4 and 5 and you know what everybody's doing.
Right.
Like, at some point, you just got to take them.
I think, like, we're talking around it, though. Ultimately, like, if Philly wins the East, it's because, number one, Harden at least is really, really good.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately it's if Maxey just continues.
Yeah, well, he's the guy that has the guy that has upside, right? He's got some upside to him. So
he's got some game.
Yeah, yeah. No. He's nice. Now we can't have you here and not talk about your Knicks now, Fred.
Let's talk about the Knicks.
We have to talk about your Knicks and the 700 draft picks they have.
The Knicks who might steal the Summer League championship from the Thunder.
Exactly. I can't wait for that match.
One in a blowout yesterday.
Hey, yo, Knicks got like half the regular season roster playing Summer League out here. Like, I was like, is that Grimes?
What's he doing here?
Is that Jericho? What is happening here? These are like grown men.
Jericho Sims is huge. He's and giant. And he jumps so high.
Right.
He jumps so high.
Nobody jumps higher than Jalen Duren, though. Jesus.
Oh, my God. Detroit started a front court of Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart. I was like,
can you just imagine, a loose ball with those two?
Right.
That is insane.
You're not getting it.
Right. That's insane.
And meanwhile, Duren's the youngest player in the draft.
Yeah.
This is a high schooler's body. He's 18.
Right.
That's the crazy part. Like, you see him, there's boost in his walk. He's walking. And he's getting off the
ground. Hovering.
He don't know where he's going.
Detroit's got something.
Detroit's going to be fun.
Yes.
Isaiah Detroit's Stewart hit three threes the other day.
I know. They're going to be
started
fun.
Hitting threes at the end of the year.
No, they're going to be fun real soon this year. I love what they're doing. Troy Weaver gets all the props for that. The Ivy pick, I think, is going to be sensational. It's so funny because everybody says the same thing when I'm doing my pre-draft stuff is just wait till he's not playing for Purdue anymore. And you'll see Purdue's got like two bigs in the middle of the paint all the time. Like he's got so much more in his bag than he got to show at Purdue. And I think they're going to be good. But let's get back to your Knicks.
Let's talk Knicks.
What's quickly courtside helping the youngsters.
Quickly courtside. Julius Randle courtside. Obi Toppin courtside.
See, that's the other thing.
Tibbs, Worldwide West. Dolan was there.
Did you talk to Obi after he walked past you and you...
We had a very pleasant... Obi's a very, very pleasant guy. We had a very, very nice stop and chat.
Yeah.
Caught up a little bit.
Do they need... By the way, we were in the same place where LeBron chased me out. Julius Randle walked by. Nobody pushed me out the way.
Nobody.
All I'm
he
saying
was like
Julius Randle, man of the people.
Julius Randle might have pushed you out the way.
Nah, he was cool.
Julius is cool.
He was out, that was it. And I was like, they should trade you, Julius.
So where are we? What's after this flurry, this crazy offseason?
They had such a weird
very weird.
Like, I
seven
actually
trades with Detroit or whatever it was.
I kind of think they got too much crap for what they did on draft night because of the way it trickled out. Like, it trickled out at first, not all the information was out there, and it kind of seemed like they just used the 11th pick to dump Kemba Walker. And that wasn't actually the case. I mean, they end up... They trade down from 11. They downgraded it, but they end up with three first-round picks. And, one of them's a Wizards pick that's protected far out. One of them's a Detroit pick that's protected far out. One of them's a Milwaukee pick. But, I love the idea of having these protections to go really, really far out, which is a new thing. Because you kind of control a part of that team's future now.
Yes, right,
Bradley Beal, for example, they own the Wizards' 2023 first-rounder, and it's protected all the way to 2026.
Sure.
If Bradley Beal says, I want you to go, I just re-upped, go get me another big name. And the Wizards want to include, say, a 2025 and 2027 pick to do it. They have to call up the Knicks and be like, can we give you an asset so you unprotect that pick?
Because they
can't trade that pick for years.
Yes.
I think the Knicks, I think they've got, they were in an okay position. I think that Brunson's a good player.
Yes.
They've needed a point guard since the beginning of time.
No question.
I think they're better than they were last year. I'm a little confused about the Mitchell Robinson contract, though. They gave him 4 for $60. We don't know all the details of the contract yet. But, their offense, we talk about spacing with the Lakers.
That's what I was going to ask you, Fred. That's a five-car pileup in the middle of the paint for them right now. How do they get any spacing with their current roster?
See, what's so tough is, so it's totally possible R.J. Barrett comes out next year and he developed a jump shot. He's got a crazy work ethic.
Yeah.
He's young. He's super talented. He's only 22. It's totally possible. But the problem is, spacing isn't just shooting.
Yes.
It's where you're best on the floor. The point of basketball is to put all five guys in the optimal positions for them to be successful.
Right.
And when Julius Randle is the best inside the three-point line, R.J. Barrett is his best inside the three-point line. Mitchell Robinson might actually hang around the rim more than any other player in the league.
Right.
Because he really is just gonna be there for putbacks.
Exactly. Lobs.
And for lobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And dump-offs, and that's about it. And they really want to weaponize his offensive rebounding because he's really good at it. And Jalen Brunson can absolutely shoot, but he's best inside three-point line.
He does his, old man, get to the basket, use his body, and that's it. And he's good at it. Like, he's really good at it.
And it takes time for him to get off some of his moves, right, too. So it's not like he's like
this
quick
is like
there.
Larry Johnson reincarnate.
Right.
Like 98 Knicks back here.
Exactly.
No, he's going to take his time.
Yeah, right.
But the
not
90,
a bad comp, actually.
But the 98 Knicks had at least Allen Houston out right. there
yeah,
taking threes.
Right.
Spree could make a shot.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be really, really weird. To see how they're going to try to maximize that, I don't know how it's going to work offensively.
They've got a lot of good pieces, but how do they fit is going to be like the tough part. You know, like I think Grimes is going to be a solid role player.
I think Grimes has a chance to start.
Oh, I could see that. I could see that
for
the
problem you're talking about. But
I could see that.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Fournier is my question, right? Like,
yeah,
some of these guys. Is like, okay,
I mean, I think Fournier is like, if you want Evan Fournier, you call the Knicks.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
they will send a car.
I think
I don't know where he fits in.
I don't think they've shown a willingness to attach stuff to Fournier to get off of him.
Right.
And look, it's not like Fournier is not a good player. He's a ridiculous shooter. Yeah. He's like an unbelievable shooter.
Right.
He's just on an expensive contract. He's got $37 million in 2 years left on his deal. But I think if you want Evan Fournier, I think you can get Evan Fournier.
Right.
I don't know what's necessarily going to happen with him because, like, Brunson is – he fights hard defensively. He's small.
Yeah.
And so if you have him and Fournier next to each other, when you face physical offensive backcourts, like when they face Chicago and you have Lonzo Ball and you have Zach LaVine,
yeah,
how are you going to guard that size? You know, like, that's why I say I think Grimes has a chance to start because he can shoot and he's a really physical, really hard-playing defender. And that's what Tibbs tends to gravitate to also.
Right. How's Tibbs going to live without Taj Gibson on his roster this year?
Tibbs just sat back.
You're going to end up on the bench.
Taj Gibson?
He's going to Washington.
Taj Gibson's going to be a wizard.
He's going to
be a wizard.
Tibbs sat in his chair yesterday, put on the fireplace, fired up some Sarah McLachlan. Tears streaming.
Does he still have Derrick Rose?
I will remember you.
Does he still have Derrick Rose? He'll be all right.
hilarious. Oh, my God.
Taj is still playing.
Yeah. Taj can still play. Taj can totally still play.
Right.
Taj can defend. And Taj just drains.
Make a couple threes last year.
Taj just drains corner threes now. Taj Gibson being a 64% corner three-point shooter in his career is
outstanding.
One of the weirdest things.
It's outstanding.
Ever.
Like him and Tony Snell.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
dudes do not miss from the corner.
Tony Snell, who went 2.5 years at one point without taking a free throw.
Unbelievable. All right,
I still think the Knicks will be – I think they'll be good, though.
It'll be interesting that –
they won't win a title, obviously.
That back half of the contenders in the East is going to be very interesting. Because I do think Washington will be better next year. I
don't – So those guys are all like around the same range. Like they were 11 and 12 this year. Charlotte, like if we go like play-in tournament style, like who's getting in there? Is anybody who made the play-in this year missing next year? Is Charlotte missing because we don't know what's going to happen with Miles Bridges?
Right, we don't.
Like is Charlotte missing? If Charlotte's out, which team is getting in there?
Right. I mean, it obviously injuries always are the only factor that matters with this, but. Look, again, I think Washington's going to be pretty good next year. Well, it's pretty good, you know, relatively speaking. I think they never played Beal and Porzingis together. They never got to play together. I think that they have a chance to be offensively pretty decent. Now, can they stop anybody? Lord knows. But they could be in there. I don't think Indiana's right there yet, but I do like Mathurin for them. I think he's going to play and play well right away. I think they're, you know... Rick Carlisle always coaches up his team pretty good. So we don't know what's going to happen with Turner. But, you know, so those are the types of teams out there. And Detroit, you can't ignore Detroit. I mean, Detroit's going to be in the mix this year.
I don't think Detroit gets in.
You don't think so?
I think they're too young, and I don't think they have, like, I don't think they care about getting in.
Well, that's certainly true.
They're not going to, like, make some move to get better and fall to the 10 spot. You know?
Right.
I think they're still young and they're a little late, but I love their young core.
Right. All right.
So what happens with Atlanta is going to be a big deal.
I got Atlanta top six. I mean, with DeJounte coming, that is just a ridiculously good trade for them last year. What's that?
Them as a nine seed was so weird.
Well, it was like, from minute one, though.
They were from Eastern Conference.
It was from minute one. They were so discombobulated.
Yeah.
You know, and some of that's on Trey. Not all of it, but some of it's on Trey.
I mean, Trey came out and said on the record that regular season's boring now. He said it was boring.
Right, right.
So, like,
I just don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to leave because more talented people are coming to be on the show. So we have to leave.
I would like to see who these people are because nobody is more talented than Cats. I beg to differ.
No, we have to go. It's been a fun time, though. I've enjoyed talking basketball with you two gentlemen.
We're going to go watch Chet.
Exactly. Let's go watch Chet. Baby, one, two, three, four.
Y'all got to get that beat going.
All right. Listen to us. You've been watching us, but listen to us on Spotify, Google Play, Apple, wherever you get your fine American podcast. Marcus, we always say leave 5 stars because that helps us. But if they can't leave 5 stars just because they can't, what should they do?
They should get their lives together.
You know what I mean?
Because being a hater, it's just not profitable.
Yeah, what are you, part of LeBron's security detail?
Pushing people with lanyards out of the way? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? You don't want to be that person.
No, don't be that guy.
Be Fred. Don't be that guy.
Julius Randle would give 5 stars.
5 stars.
Five stars for Julius Randle. We're out. Later.
Start her up, champ.
Yeah.
Let her rip.
I'll be happy to drive you wherever you want to go. I'll make it simple, man. Your motor's broken.